All right.
Are you okay?
I'm good.
Okay.
Good. All right.
Breath. Breathe in the candle. Our flower. Blow out the candle. You ever heard of that?
No. Welcome to episode 5 of The Chase, where we talk about God's Word and discuss God's Word as it applies to our daily lives. Again, today we have Jacob with me, and today the title of our topic is Be Ready, Be Willing. So this is going to encompass a couple different things, but we're going to go ahead and get started, and we'll just jump right into it. Jacob, why don't you tell me what it is?
Thanks, Bobby. And we're going to be talking about Be Ready, Be Willing. We kind of had a very broad amount of things we wanted to talk about that. I mean, along with seasons of life, being obedient to God, being listening, so that being ready and being willing. There's a lot that we're going to talk about, and I believe that Bobby has a scripture for us to get us started.
I do. So this scripture is Acts 3, 1 through 8. It says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went to them, then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God.
Walking and leaping, praising God. Love that song.
Children's church, Sunday school song. So, Jacob, why don't you kind of tell us kind of where we're going with that verse to start out?
Yeah. What's happening is, well, two people who love the Lord, being obedient, went out in faith. And at the time, God had mentioned to his disciples, as he was sending them off in twos, he said, take nothing. And he did that because he wants them to live so much in faith that they're going to know that wherever they go, they're going to be taken care of. And they did that. They did that in faith. And that's why he mentions, like, silver and gold I do not have. Because in that day and time, many people begging, their only way of getting income is begging. And I'm sure that person was at first very disappointed, like, oh, he's like, silver and gold, I don't want to talk to you. You don't have what I need. And then Peter, in the text, he gives him more than this man could ever ask and imagine. The whole heart behind even mentioning this verse is that I believe that as Christians and as a Christ follower, people miss out on a lot of opportunity in their lives to serve the Lord. I believe that you don't have to have it all to serve the Lord. You serve the Lord in faith, and a lot of the times God has already provided you with everything you need to change lives, and that's his Holy Spirit and what he's done on the cross. And it's just so, it's so easy to get to the point in your life where you're like, I'm not a good speaker, or I don't have a lot of finances, or I'm a shy person, or whatever it may be that you think of when you say, I'm not going to go do that calling, whether it be to pray for someone simply. You can miss out so easily when you kind of put up, I can't do this, but with God, anything's possible. And what God can do is will blow your mind if you sit out in faith and obedience.
Yeah, yeah. And like the title of our topic today is, I mean, be ready, be willing. And
absolutely.
We have to be ready to use whatever it is that we have and put it towards God's glory. I mean, you mentioned a couple episodes, or maybe it was last episode, about how you were riding your bike and God mm-hmm. told you to stop and go talk to this lady, right? And
yeah, absolutely.
She needed yep. her lawn mowed.
Yes, yeah, she did. And, she was struggling.
Right. And so you wouldn't have been able to minister to her unless you had been ready to honor God.
Yeah, it was a challenge. It was, I mean, I'm riding my bike and I almost flew off my handles just stopping because I like so abruptly heard him to tell me to stop. And it takes a lot to walk up to someone because there's always that fear of, oh, maybe I go up to this person, they're like, oh, I don't want your help. I've actually helped right. elderly people and they've been like offended that I even offered help, like that I assumed that they couldn't do it, and that was not my heart at all. I was just wanted to serve them. But this lady began to become an opportunity that I never imagined, in just the fact that I got to visit her almost every day back from my work when she didn't have her night job. And she told her that I visited her more than her own family have in a whole year. And mm-hmm. so just like that opportunity that I got, not only did I step out in obedience and in, I was a little bit fearful, and I believe it's okay to be fearful because it's not in our nature to do that.
Right.
It's like walking mm-hmm. with blindfolds on, trusting that you're going to know exactly where you need to go.
Yeah.
And it ended up blessing me. Like, I had to be ready because I was praying a lot and reading my Bible very frequently in that time in my life. And so I was ready. I believe that there's preparation to your willingness to obey God. Can you kind of speak to that, being that preparation of being ready for the being willing part?
Yeah, I mean.
What does your preparation look like on the daily?
On the daily? For me, it's kind of hard, simply because, excuse me, I'm at home a lot, and so I don't generally interact with a whole lot of different people
okay.
during the day. But there are certainly times, and really this should be an everyday thing for me, because you never know what God's going to bring to your doorstep. Mm-hmm. And there have been times where I have to go to the grocery store, or I have to go run an errand with my son. And sometimes I'm just like, God, let me look for an opportunity to help somebody. Let me look mm-hmm. for an opportunity to bless somebody
else. Asking for it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because honestly, if I don't pray that prayer, and there's been times where I've gone out and I felt like there was something I was supposed to do, and I just didn't.
Yeah.
Because I didn't mentally or spiritually prepare myself.
I like that. I like that song. It's like, give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see. It's just like, give me a heart for the brokenhearted.
Yeah.
Give me love for humanity. I look at David. David had to pray that his heart would be prepared. Because many times that he served under kings, or he was in different places obeying the Lord, he was, there was one king that David served under, and every time he entered his presence, he would throw a spear at him and try to kill
right.
him. But God prepared his, because the preparation of his heart had to take place before he went into that situation. Or I definitely would not have stayed around
right.
if a spear was thrown at me.
Yeah.
Because most of the time, a king was a warrior and was very talented with a weapon.
Yeah. And generally, their rule and authority was absolute, so.
Yeah. If you didn't agree with them, then off with your head.
Yeah, pretty much. So, another kind of aspect of this topic that you mentioned was about being equipped and kind of God's calling on our lives. And certainly, obviously, we need to be ready, and we need to be ready for whatever God has for us.
Yes.
But talk to me about kind of maybe some times where it's more of a season of waiting. It's more of a
okay.
God is preparing you or trying to get you ready for something that's that maybe isn't going to happen right away or that day, but further on down the line. Have you had something like that?
I definitely have. You would want me to talk more of the waiting side of my seasons?
Sure. Yeah.
I look at my relationship right now with Lily and getting married soon. I had to be okay with my singleness. I had to be okay with my walk with God and my relationship with God. And I had to be okay with that, and I had to patiently wait for the season that God brought me into with her. And I've had to be okay with serving, with production, with doing lights and doing sound and setting up church every day. And I so desperately wanted to play guitar and sing, but God had me wait from a young age and allow me to grow. And then here I am now, 20 years old, and I have opportunities to lead worship and to sing and to do something that I've always desired. But there was that waiting season, and I believe that waiting season was preparation in my heart and the Lord wanting to show me things that require my attention. And I believe that people can get in the spot they want. I think God sometimes allows that. He gives people what they want, and because they're just so consistent and they don't care about the will of God. And then it's so destructive. You look at someone who's doing something outside of God's will, and they're doing it in their own timing. They're doing it in their own strength. And anything in your own strength is really exhausting. I believe that that's why it's very important to be in God's will and God's timing. I desperately have wanted to be in Leavenworth a lot sooner than I am right now. And I believe it was all setting up for something big and amazing, because God's timing is way better than anything I could have came up with. And even moving to Kansas and serving at this church. And I just constantly look at my life, and if I were to try to set up and do my life the way that God has planned it and the way God has timed it and the perfect timing, and I believe that that also goes with bad things happening to you. A lot of the bad things that happened to me were for His glory, and that got me to where I am today. It's so amazing to look at God and look at the way He operates. He operates on a way that we don't even think about half the time.
Yeah. And it's hard to see some of those things until after it's happened, really.
Yeah. And I think you could, in a sense, with also waiting in seasons, to feel like instead of allowing that season to be a growing season, you kind of start a pity party and you say, God doesn't want to use me. Maybe I'm not good enough. That guy, look at him. He's an amazing preacher. I can never preach like that. I mean, no wonder they have this guy preaching, not me. No wonder they have that person up there singing, not me. And, you can kind of get in an emotional slump that you put yourself in, just thinking. And I think you can use your positive thoughts and reminder of God and His goodness and His timing just as a daily reminder. I mean, every time that you begin to think, or every time you get that thought of, man, I'm sure that you've even with your, with the podcast, I mean, there, you talked to me earlier how even with the youth group, you felt like, Lord, I feel like this is what you're having me do. And you said, I went to prayer. And I went to God and I said, okay, God, I know that you've placed this in my heart, and I know that you want to see it in fruition. And so that began to come out. And I believe that there's a vision that can go in your heart that you need to pray about. And then there's the season that you're in. I believe that God will give you some things to pray about and in your heart that you might not see for years, or you may never see. I mean, look at some of the churches that are here today. Like years ago, it was all because a pastor was praying, start a church in this location.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, it all works together for God's good.
Yeah. Yep. And part of that is just being patient. Part of it, like you said, is perspective. I mean,
perspective.
Understanding that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, you know, and not everything that we see or sometimes even what we want is will necessarily be a part of God's plan. Mm-hmm. I think one of the keys is to keep praying about it and keep an open heart to what God has for you.
Yeah, I mean, outside of the church, I mean, there's people who want kids. There's people who want a job promotion. You could go and anywhere you're wanting something, I mean, it may be your God's will to let you have that. But, I mean, there's always a timing for it. There's always timing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's timing in if you were to put a piece of patty on the stove. I mean, you want a hamburger, but it's going to take that thing time to cook and get ready for your enjoyment. You can't just bite into it early, I mean, unless you like that rare.
Yeah. Gross.
No undercooked stuff. And it also, that's a cool analogy, because if you eat something that's not ready before it's cooked, you can get sick and it's not good for you. You can use that as a way to look at your life. I mean, if you're wanting something early and you get it early, it may be destructive to your family, to you, to the potential of the ministry or whatever maybe thereof.
Right, for sure. Yeah, so actually one of those things right now, I'm kind of going through that, and it's hard because I'm in this weird place with my writing. I enjoy writing books, and I've spent the last few years learning how to do that and trying to get better, right? And so what has kind of happened is that at one point I did kind of try to force it. Like I started self-publishing my books, and so when I did that, it went nowhere. And
congratulations.
So I believe that that's where I'm supposed to go and that's what I'm supposed to do. But getting there, I got impatient. And, you know, if it does happen, great. And, you know, I become a known writer, that would be incredible. And I would love it. But I need to be careful and do it in God's time.
Yeah. I mean, you can't skip the process and that God has for you, because you get an unfinished product that is not, I mean, most, every single time, I'm not going to say most, every single time God puts something into play and he puts a desire in your heart, it's far better than we could ever ask, imagine, or think of. And when you, like you said, I mean, you did something on your own strength and it was like, this kind of stinks, you know.
Right.
You know, it stinks. Do you mind? You mentioned to me earlier that when you are praying and how God gives you desires of your heart. You mind speaking to that? Because I mean, you were already on that trail of what it looked like to do it on your own. Like, what does your journey look like right now?
Right now.
And how has your prayer life affected that, and so on and so forth.
Right now, I'm asking for God's will a lot more, I think.
That's good.
Man, because part of the reason that I had so much trouble was that for the longest time, I've had this ache to get out of retail and 9-to-5 Monday through Friday jobs. Again,
I'll be praying for
patience.
You.
Yeah, thank you. So, yeah, patience is a big part of it. And people say, don't pray for patience because then you're going to get tested.
Then you'll get it.
Yeah.
You will get what you ask for.
But, man, it's so important because you see how kind of detrimental it can be. I've just been trying to be patient and, you know, keep my heart on God and keep my eyes fixed on God while I'm going through the waiting period, basically.
Okay. What does that look like in the family aspect? What does that look like for your family watching you go through this process or going through it with your family, with your boys? Like, you know, what does that look like being the head of the household in kind of that idling time?
You mean as far as kind of how it affects my
Yeah, like, I mean,
life?
Yeah, like, your boys are asking, the other boys ask questions, and like, how is your response to them, and teaching them about God's timing and your wife. And I know that wives, they think about everything because that's the way women are. They right. like to think about the details, like, how does your faith go into explaining and being patient with your family, and what does that look like for you?
I mean, I guess my older one isn't too young, but my youngest is, you know, 3, so he doesn't really.
Yeah.
He just knows daddy goes to work. but the older one, I don't really mention it, but he does kind of see me get moody and complain a little bit yeah. about going to work.
Little sponges.
Yeah, right. So I've been working on my attitude, and you know, when I leave, I used to get upset and be kind of down in the dumps, but I've just worked on changing that attitude, because I know that they do see that. I know yeah. they understand. They're going to make this connection that work is bad if they keep seeing me, you know, have this bad attitude. But that is something I need to work on with them as well, is just explaining, yeah, guys, daddy wants this, and I want to be able to stay home with you guys and mm-hmm. work from home. But right now God has me at this yeah. job at Home Depot, and you know, that's okay. And God's going to work everything out in his time.
Yeah.
So, that's a good point. I do need to make it a point of opening that conversation.
Yeah. I like the fact that when God is putting us through season of patience and trusting him, that it creates opportunity for others as well. I love that about God. It's never like, he's always working in every aspect, and it gives me you an opportunity to show your wife. I think she probably thinks it's really attractive, you trusting the Lord, and you know, and your boys growing up knowing it, and they're gonna tell people someday, I remember my dad, and no matter how hard it got, he trusted God, and
yeah.
and even though, man, there was times where it was hard and attitude wasn't the best, you know, but he still trusted in the Lord. So trust in the Lord always. Yeah, it says yeah. it in the Bible. And I love that, because for me, it's hard. I mean, when Lily and I look at the numbers and look at jobs and insurance and all that, and it gets scary, and just trusting God, like, it's helped us grow together. And I'm sure that it will benefit your wife and your boys, and you're going to ultimately stand before God someday for all that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a bit of a sobering thought for sure. And, yeah, everybody has hard times and everybody struggles, but and just keep your eyes on God.
What would you say to, we'll do a little role play here. Say I come to you and I say, you know, you don't know what it's like. I've been in years of not understanding what God is doing. I don't understand what God is doing in my life. I've been obedient. I've been doing what he wants. I serve in the church. I tithe. And I still have not gotten this opportunity that I want. What would you say to me?
I would say, well, first, I mean, look at Abraham. Abraham went through so many years waiting on one kid.
Yeah.
And his wife was 90-something years old when she
really old
birthed Isaac. And, yeah, I mean, people have waited far longer than you and still come out with God's blessing. And they even tried to force it, doing it the wrong way. And God still held to his promise. So, I mean, even if you don't see that promise being fulfilled anytime soon, and God's timing isn't your timing, and waiting for that timing is going to work out for your best interest.
Yeah. I would, even to my own scenario, I would kind of offer them in a loving way a heart check. I think when it becomes, I've done all this, why haven't I gotten it, that there's a hesitation that God holds something back from you because your heart's not ready for it. You look at everyone. I mean, Abraham, he was like, all right, Lord. He was ready. His heart was ready. And you look at anyone in the Bible. You look at David and Goliath. David was a servant. He was in the field. He was serving. And his heart was willing to do whatever. And he knew God's word. So that when he approached Goliath and he had this opportunity in front of him, his heart was ready. He's like, I know God's word. I know this is my timing. But, I mean, imagine those days in the field with the sheep and his brothers mocking him. Like, you're over there with the sheep. Ha ha. We're men. We're going to the war, you know. And he's like, you're over here with the sheep, you loser. And in the Bible, sheep were the like dumbest animals. And the like that was like almost as low as a servant. And, you know, and servant was even low, you know. You'd think that's as low as you can get. And then taking care of sheep was on that totem pole. So, you know, I just think about that those days of sitting there thinking about God's word and praying and playing a harp and mending and taking care of the sheep. And then someday an opportunity came and he's like, I know God's word. I'm the only one willing to do this. And then look at where it brought him in the Bible. Yeah. I mean, that one being ready made a world.
Yeah.
Made a world of this part of the Bible we know.
Absolutely. Yep. We've got one more verse. Jacob, do you want to read that or you want
Absolutely.
Me to?
All right. Matthew 25:14-30. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who's called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To the one he gave 5 bags of gold and to another 2 bags and another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. And the man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received the bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags brought a gold of 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you've entrusted me with 5 bags of gold, and I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with the few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of the gold came, and the master, he said, master, you've entrusted me with 2 bags of gold, and I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in few, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you would be a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid of you, and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here's what it belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money in deposit with the bank so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him. So he took the bag of gold from him and gave it to the one who has 10 bags. And for whoever has been given more, they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them and thrown that worthless servant outside into the darkness where he will be weeping and where he will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Yeah.
And so basically what this is saying is that Jesus, He's an analogy guy, you know. He likes to give a story, parable guy, and he gives the servants all this money. You have 2 people who decided to go and make something of it, and then one who didn't. And this is kind of what you brought forward to me. So I was wondering what your heart on it was and what God was speaking to you.
A lot of people kind of look at this and draw a comparison to kind of the talents and abilities God gives you. And it's funny that if you look in, I think it's the King James Version, and actually use the word. it actually uses the word talents, which is a unit of weight or you know,
yeah,
monetary unit. But for us in the English speaking language, you know, a talent is just an ability that you have. And so I think that's important to recognize that while, and we mentioned this too, is that God doesn't call the equipped, but equips the called.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So certainly he will give you the ability to do his calling.
Yeah.
But he also gives us talents and abilities that are just kind of innate within us. I mean, yeah, everybody can see that.
Yep.
And so,
and fruits of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, yeah. And even that, to just kind of ignore those and to do nothing with them is kind of an insult to God. And
I mean,
foolish.
Yeah, called him a wicked and evil servant when he gave him back. And the rest of them was, good job, buddy. Let's go have fun together because you did a good job. I think God has a goal and a mission, and he wants to use us, and he's going to give us things. You may look at someone and say, man, they got this, but God has given you this, whatever that this may be to you, and he wants to see you use it. He doesn't want you to see it get buried because you're fearful of him or you think that you won't do good of it.
Right. Any final thoughts? I know we kind of glazed over that last one a little bit, but running a little short on time.
I would just say don't hesitate on God's calling on your life, but also don't rush into it. Be prayed. You, like we talked about, David, before he faced Goliath, he knew his word. He knew that the land was promised to the people, God's people. And I think the same could be said for our lives. We need to be acknowledged in the word so that when an opportunity comes, or say there's a controversial topic, you are like, I know the truth because I studied it and I spent time praying and following God's will. And my whole life is for these moments where I get to put it into play. So don't be hesitant. Don't be fearful, but also don't be boastful and prideful and going into things prematurely.
And be willing, right? Be willing to
be ready, be willing.
Step out in faith. All right. And until next time, chase God and chase his word.